today we are reviewing the Hyundai i30N with our own resident journalist Martin Pretorius. Tell us about the Hyundai i30N.
Okay, I'm going to be brutally honest about this car. Look, let's first tell everyone what it is. It's a golf class hot hatchback. It's also the only i30 we're getting in South Africa. The model range as a whole was discontinued, so this is a very special thing. It's the only i30 of this generation we're getting, and it's the very top level one as well. I have some mixed emotions about this car, but I also have to admit that within the first 5 kilometers of driving it, it made me giggle like a little kid who just received an amazing present. So the upsides, or the upsides and downsides, we'll get to those a bit later. But the basic specs, 202 kilowatt and 353 newton meters going to the front wheels through a 6-speed manual gearbox and limited slip diff. So all the basic hardware is there. And it does actually use this hardware very, very effectively. Hyundai claims a 0-100 sprint in 6.1 seconds. I don't quite think that that's realistic. I still have to do some performance testing on this car one day when I get another chance to drive one. It feels more like a 7-second car. It's roughly on par with a Golf 7 GTI, maybe slightly quicker than a Golf 7 GTI on acceleration. But it's a far more involving driving experience. If you're a keen driver, this would probably be the Hyundai of choice for you.
Does it go for the par, like a GTI?
It actually does. They managed to, program in a crackle map in a manual car. And that's the first time I've actually seen this in a car without an auto box.
So it's a G part without a DSG. That's interesting.
Yeah. So on the steering wheel, there are two buttons. The left one is for the normal drive mode selections, and the right-hand one is for N mode and N mode custom, where you can adjust things like the suspension stiffness, the steering weight, the throttle response, the noise level from the exhaust. It actually has an active exhaust as well. So all sorts of things you can configure individually. My preferred setup with this car was engine in maximum attack, stability control in sport mode, limited slip diff in its most aggressive mode, and the suspension in its softest, because it's already very, very firm. It's not really the car you'd buy if you prioritize comfort. For those people, rather get a Golf GTI for a lot less money. And that actually brings us to the next problem, the price tag. 680,000 Rand for essentially a Golf GTI competitor. If you go look at the price lists, a normal GTI is something around 610,000, and a GTI TCR, the hot one, and also a very limited supply, is 670,000. So it's about 10,000 more expensive than the most expensive Golf GTI. That leaves it in a very difficult market position in South Africa specifically, because we love GTIs. I mean, South Africa is the only market in the world where GTIs actually outsell the normal 1.2 and 1 liter turbo diesel Golfs. So we love our GTIs, and this car is up against some very stiff competition. And here's the problem. When you're driving this car and you're not hearing around, it's very odd. Yeah. Spectacular inside the cabin. There's nothing really nice to look at in terms of the sat nav. It doesn't even have sat nav standard. So when you're driving at absolute 10 tenths and you're going all out, it's an absolute blast. It's a giggle, and it is one of the most engaging front-wheel drive cars I've ever driven. But for the other 98% of the time, it's actually pretty ordinary. And that's a bit of a letdown. I'd like the car to entertain me more when I'm not acting out all sorts of socially irresponsible fantasies.
Like?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You mentioned limited numbers. How many of these were earmarked for South Africa?
I think it's less than 100, Lawrence. I'm not actually sure of the exact number.
So there you go. It's like exclusivity.
Well, there's only one.
And you're dealing with other Hyundai fanboys, and you can say, I have one of 99.
Well, there you go.
You might be buying it. It's an investment car if you think about it.
Well, yes, because of its rarity. And underneath all of that, it is actually a really good car. I'm just not convinced that it's 70,000 or 60,000 rand better than a normal Golf GTI.
There's only one important thing.
Yeah. And if it were my own money, as much as I enjoyed this Hyundai, I would most likely add another 60,000 on top of it and rather get a Civic Type R, which does everything this Hyundai does, but turned up to 13 instead of just turned up to 11.
And all the time.
Well,
even if you're sitting in traffic, the Honda's entertaining. When you're sitting in traffic with this car, it's just kind of meh.
Well, let's see. Maybe the Hyundai i30 can make this sound.
So it sounds really good. It's really fun to drive. And I think if you frequent track days and the likes, you will find great satisfaction with this car. I also think it might become an appreciating asset in the future on account of its rarity. Maybe the first collectible Hyundai of all time. Let's see.
That is a bold statement from Martin Pretorius, a collectible. Hopefully it doesn't become like that Land Rover, which is a collectible because it can't drive anyway. Martin knows I'm only putting his leg. Right, Martin?
Yes, I do.
So there you go. Go out and get your Hyundai i30N limited edition. Not limited edition in terms of its livery, but a limited edition in terms of the number of vehicles that are earmarked for South Africa. There, the Hyundai i30. Maybe we'll see the Hyundai i30 up against the GTI at some point.
Check out the review. It's live on autotrader.co.za along with some nice photos. The review actually expands on my thoughts about this car. On the one hand, I love it. On the other, I'm not quite sure.
Well, let's move on to the BMW first electric iX3 is bound for South Africa. And the concept iX3 2 years ago, and I love it when concept cars become reality. I'm not a big concept car fan. I don't get all excited when I see a concept car. But this one I'm pretty excited about, and it's bound for South Africa in the final quarter of 2021. Now, Land Rover Jaguar allowed me to drive the electric I-Pace some 2 weeks ago, and I was fortunate enough to keep the car for a week. And I must say that I fell in love with that car. It is everything everybody says it is. Turned up to 15, Martin. I didn't break any speed records, but I managed to get 0 to 100 in 4.6 seconds. They marketed, I think, at 4.7 seconds. I managed to do 4.6 seconds, and that car goes like a bat out of, well,
and it just doesn't stop.
So I'm assuming that the electric iX3 from BMW is going to deliver similar sorts of immediate torque, because I also drove the BMW i3. Yes, the i3 some time ago, the little car. And that thing delivers also. I mean, it's 0 to 100 in, I think, 5 or 6 seconds. 6 seconds. But for a little car with an electric motor not as big as these SUVs, it also put the power down like a bat out of hell, and I loved driving that BMW. Every electric car that I've been inside, I've been impressed with. The BMW i3 is no different. So I'm assuming the BMW iX3, which is South Africa bound for the end of next year, is going to be exactly the same. And I can't wait to get my my claws on it and drive it. And it's got an electric e-drive motor pump that outputs 210 kilowatts and peak torque of 400 newton meters. It has a gross energy of 80 kilowatt hours. We have to start using new terminology here, Martin and Lawrence. 80 kilowatt hours and translates into a range of about 460 kilometers. Now, that is impressive. 460 kilometers out of an electric car is impressive. And, you know, some test cycles seem to have got 520 kilometers out of this car. So its top speed is electronically limited to 180 kilometers an hour, similar to the I-Pace. The I-Pace is also limited, which is a good thing because you get there very quickly. I was going to use another word. You get there very, very, very quickly. You get there very quickly that you can't remember how you got there. Does 0 to 100 in 6.8 seconds, and as I said, delivering 210 kilowatts. Martin?
Yeah, George.
You said something, and I cut you off very rudely.
Roughly on par with the 30i versions, the four-cylinder, the high-output four-cylinder turbo petrol in terms of performance. But I must say...
Did I just hear you compare an electric car to a petrol car?
I mean, the fact that they managed to pack 80 kilowatt hours into this thing is pretty impressive. Yeah. But what's really interesting is I see that the power only goes to the rear wheels.
Yeah, so I suppose that's what's causing the 0 to 100 in only 6.8 seconds and not much faster. You know, if you compare that to Tesla P100D, you've got power to both the wheels, which then makes it incredibly quick.
Much, much faster, yeah.
It looks like it's going to be built in South Africa as well. Which is
lovely. Cool. Well, that's BMW's traits, right? They build stuff in our country. So you know, all things being equal, I can't wait for this car to actually be on our road so that we can take a good look at it. Obviously, battery pack down in the floor as usual as electric cars go. On to our next story. Ford's new Bronco makes its debut after 20 years, but will it come to South Africa? What do you guys think?
I had the pleasure of contacting Ford South Africa 10 minutes after the live reveal was done. And I was told in no uncertain terms that no, the Bronco will not be coming to South Africa because where it's being manufactured, they do not have the facilities to make right-hand drive versions, which automatically excludes it from local introduction. And there are no plans to bring it to the country because at a starting price of about $79,000, you do the maths. Go buy yourself a Raptor or a Jeep. Fully stocked Jeep Sahara. You'll be happy.
Jeep Sahara. Beautiful car. Well, there you have it, I suppose.
I see the two. They'll one day show.
It's a point of talking about this car anymore.
The press release is a color I'd like to call OJ Orange.
I had the I-Pace in a beautiful, beautiful orange and black.
No, this is more like a mustard orange juice.
Yellow. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this car anymore. It's not coming to South Africa.
not coming to South Africa.
Yeah, I don't even know why we're talking about it.
Some enterprising guy is going to find a way to bring one over the border. I can tell you that now.
Yeah, but you still can't license it and drive it because it's a left-hand drive.
Yeah,
there's actually a company in Alberton that does right-hand drive conversions on various, and I think there's one in Cape Town as well. They do right-hand drive conversions on various American vehicles, and I suspect that this thing actually has a fair bit of Ranger underneath. The chances are that they'll be able to convert this to right-hand drive using Ranger parts.
From what I heard, the two-door is very, very close to a Cougar chassis, so